starting day to match the Aleph Cholamoid Pesach Tafnan Zayin, Rabbi Joseph Gerber.
Stop. First, a good night to everybody. Shtei Posim B'Chved Achsanya. The Achsanya today is, as you know, it's a Kovod Achsanya and Kovod HaTorah. I just want to say it's a big schus of people who organize the shurim, and in a sense I'm a shtickle like gust of a vial of a zeta of a mile, and Chazal tell you that the shvach of the migoram is gavaltik, and they are going a lot of kovid atoyah and halbotzes toyah, and the Bnei Shem should give them the star of oskei b'tzochit tzibur v'yemuna. I'm going to talk to you about something. We're very relaxed today because the organizers told me you can talk about whatever you like. Mamash, you know, a blank check. I want to talk about something which everybody experiences and nobody really understands and no one can forecast. I'm talking about your dreams. Everybody dreams. We all dream in one way or another. But nobody really understands what happens when they are dreaming. And certainly they can't forecast what they're going to dream about. Dreams can mean many things. It's a generic term for fantasies. They say of the Ponovitch of Zichron Livracha that he was very much a dreamer. He was talking about his plans to one of his Nadivim. And the Yid said to him, Rebbe, you're dreaming. He said, ja, aber ich schluf nicht. And but that's a different type of dream. But I'm talking about literally the dream. Before we can talk about dreams, we have to talk about one element of it, which is certainly prevalent and maybe dominant. And that is the subconscious. The idea of the subconscious is very much found in Chazal, although in the Goyish world it's relatively new, but Chazal knew all about it. Chazal tell us if there are 999 malachim who are melech v'acholila and one melech toiv, the one melech toiv is still listened to. He doesn't cancel out the others, but he's still there. And if that one who has made its tov, there are 999 parts which are chas v'sholom l'ra, and one part in 1,000 which is a tov, that's also listened to. And that's hiflo v'pela. Because in one pula, you can have all these strands of machshovo, which you know about and many, many you don't know about. But if there's one little element of tov, that's also there. It's actually really a Rambam. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos and Maseches Machlis says, "L'fikach hiru b'olhem Kodesh Baruch Hu Torah Mitzvos." Why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu give us a ribui of Torah Mitzvos? In order that you could do one lishma. Now we all do mitzvahs, we think lishma, but it's much more. The Rambam goes a bit deeper. Of course we do it lishma, but not entirely. And if we're zocher to do one with proper shleimus, from that we can be zocher to Olam Haba. In Lakutim Maran it says, "Ot me'at v'ein rosha v'svananto amakomo v'einenu," says the Maharam. Ot me'at, there is one lakuda v'ein rosha. And even somebody who looks cholila like a rosha, when there is an akuda of that yid in his subconscious. V'svananto amakomo, when you look at that spot deep within the neshama of a yid, v'einenu, there's no vicious. And that's the soda of the Rambam, the famous Rambam in Hilchos Geirushin, Kofin Osachir Merotzani, because in Pnim de Pnim, a yid has got the kedusha of, maybe it's covered over. I heard from, in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he said, "La'olam yasak adam b'torah mitzvah shelo lishmo shematoch shelo lishmo bo lishmo." And it's yadua divrei Rishu Salanto, which is mavua of Simcha Zissel, matoch shelo lishmo. You use the shelo lishmo to come to lishmo. That's the simple pshat. But the Baruch Rebbe added an extra nakuda, shematoch shelo lishmo. It doesn't say as a result of the shelo lishmo, but for within the shelo lishmo, bo lishmo, there is an element of lishmo. And that's the side of the subconscious. And with that, the Sfasemis answers, which is really a plea. You look in the parasha, and so we know the godless of Soimenu, Koleshatom Lechon Soresh Mabakolom. The Bernishlam says to Avram Avinu, who was great in his own right, whatever Soa tells you, listen to her. In that Nakuda of Nevuah, she was even above Avram Avinu. And that's why, Lefi Azoya, Aye Soi Shtecha Hinei Be'oil. Avram was Pesach Oil, but she was Be'oil. Mamish, mamish in the Pnim. And yet Soa says to the Malach, no, I didn't laugh. The Malach accuses her of laughing. No. How could Soa Imenu Cholila Cholila say something which is not emes? Says the Sfasemis, of course she didn't laugh in the way that we mean laugh. If she said I didn't laugh, she didn't laugh. But if you look at the pasuk, it says Vatitzchak Soa Bekilbo, her laughter was subconscious. And she said, I didn't laugh, it was true. But the Malach says, yes, but on your Madrega, you're responsible even for your subconscious. And this is the elements of subconscious which sometimes emerge in a dream. I heard from a very eminent psychologist. He said, a person has, chas v'sholom, a terrible nightmare. Lo aleinu, you wake up and mamash, you're in a cold sweat, calling your nira. Oh, Baruch Hashem, it was only a dream. What a relief. He says, is it such a relief? What you have, what you experience in a dream is entirely pnim. It's not through external involvement, it's entirely within you. And all that nightmare was inside you, and that's you, that's the real you. It's not so fortunate, only a dream. Only a dream is you. So it's not simple that the subconscious feelings are there. We've got to work very hard to be mashpia on them. And this is certainly a prime element in chalomos. So the Manshet Rosh Hashiva Zichron Levracha used to tell of a lady who in her late 40s, Rachmon Litzlan, had to undergo brain surgery. And in the middle of the operation, when the surgeon was working on her brain, lo aleinu, she started to sing part of an aria of some opera. Didn't take long, a few seconds, and of course the surgeon stopped, and afterwards he carried on. When she'd recovered, a day or two later, the surgeon visited his patient. I didn't know you were an opera fan. I don't know what you're talking about. But in the middle of the surgery, you actually were singing. He told her, he was also a shtickle an opera fan. He told her what she was singing. She couldn't. She had no recollection of it. She never went to the opera. She wasn't particularly involved with the opera. Then it clicked. When she was a little girl, about 40 years earlier, one of her mishpocha, an aunt, had come who was into the arts, and she'd taken this little girl, her little niece, to hear the opera, and that was the opera. And for 40 years, the niggun of that opera had lain dormant in her subconscious, and under the knife of the surgeon, it came out, it was all there, nothing was lost. The Rosh Hashiva used to tell that story, and it's no over oyum, the hashpoas we can have, and no, we don't even realize that there is an hashpoa on us. But that is in the subconscious. But dreams, what is the veracity, what is the reliability of a dream? The answer is very little. The Gemara tells of someone who went to sleep, and he had a chalom that there was a treasure of Maisasheni at the end of his garden. And he went in the morning and dug it up, and there it was, the treasure, mamash, as in the chalom. He came to the base of Medrash, said, what do I do with this? Is this my sashene? No. You can use it, it's got no kedusha whatsoever. You had a dream, it was my sasheni, divi chalomos, lo mailin, velo meridi, nothing. Forget about it. It does not affect the halacha. Halacha is determined by a different level of reality and not by chalomos. Lo mailin, velo meridin. On the one hand, chalomos are, I don't want to say cholila, they're not nothing, but they're not halachic material. But Sada Sheni, the Gemara says, Chalom is Echad Meshishim Shebenevuah. So how do you reconcile these two? We have to look at Ramchal. And what I'm going to say now is based on Ramchal, although I'm not going to say every moment. This is it's all based on the Ramchal in Derech Hashem. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem says, and this is again something we can easily talk about and not easily understand, there are five levels in our neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechido, going up. And one of these levels, the basic life force called the nefesh, never leaves a human being as long as he's alive. If chas v'sholom the nefesh would leave, then a person would be nifta. But the others, the ruach, neshoma, chai, yechida, whatever those levels may mean, do leave a person sometimes at night when he sleeps. And when they leave, they go to the shamayim, and they interact and they relate to kochos elyonim. And that is where the echo meshishim shemenavua can come in. But, says Ramchal, you've got to be very careful. It's possible to interact with kochos hatumah b'shamayim, and not every dream comes from a shoresh of tahara. If the person is Torah, then his dreams will be Torah. But if not, they can be distorted, and they can altogether give wrong messages to a person. And therefore, we can understand why divi chalomos lo ma'ilim v'lo meridim. But nevertheless, there is a possibility that a chalom has a reality. And when it has a reality, then it's like a window into something which you'd have no access to without the koach of the chalom. Let me tell you a couple of uvdas, b'didi havi uvda. There's something special about b'didi havi uvda. You know you're telling the truth, right? You never know what one hears from the devout rat. I just want to give you two illustrations of chalomos, which I can recall, two I'm prepared to talk about at least, that which were definitely, in my mind, real. Let me tell you a very simple incident. I was still a bocher in the East End of London, and it was the night of Simchas Torah, and I had a dream, and in the dream I had a very good chaver who lives in London today, and he'd moved away from the East End at that time, and I had a dream. And I don't know if anybody here knows the East End. There were two major roads, Commercial Road and Whitechapel Road. And he lived the other side of Whitechapel Road. It's a very big road in the East End of London. It's of no chashivas to what we're saying. And I had a dream, and I saw him, my chava, walking behind a bus. And the bus was going exceedingly slowly, like a Levaya car. And all the traffic had stopped, and he was walking with his head down behind the bus, mamash like an ovel, being malava a levaya. I had this dream, and it was so real, it was a pachad noah. But it was Simchas Torah. Next morning, one woke up, one went to shul, did the akofas, and all the while, this dream was lying in my mind. I knew there was something there. After Nacht, I was mamish afraid the phone was going to ring. I was mamish afraid. And about a couple of hours after Nacht, the phone rang. My friend was on the phone. Unfortunately, his mother had been nifta a day before, and the levaya was on such and such a time. And that was it. He hung up the phone. And when I put down the phone, I realized I was trembling, because I'd seen that in Chalom. And this was one of those chalomas which I knew bavados was going to happen. And it's got a completely different connotation. It's not one of those dreams which, as it were, springt in the luft. Sometimes you get the impression that someone's talking to you and you know it's true. And one other such occasion, which I said I'm prepared to speak about, and that was when it was during the summer holiday, during the summer, and we were in the Hasmonean summer camp. It was in Scotland. In those days, they used to go to Scotland. And it was the day before the end of camp. And a friend of mine in London was going to was moving to Eretz Yisrael in the summer. And I was very good friends with him, and I knew he was going to Eretz Yisrael. And any case, that night, it was about two nights before the end of the camp, I had a chalom. And the chalom, if you could imagine, all I saw in the chalom was his face. Mamash, like you fill a screen with a person's face. And he had tears in his eyes, and he was crying. He said, "My wife, my wife." Mamash, he was crying. It was such a shocking dream that I woke up. I just couldn't sleep anymore that night. And I was afraid what I was going to hear when I got back to London. A couple of days later, we went back to London. I was with some people, and someone came over to me and said, "Do you hear about such and such a person?" I said, no, I didn't really hear. And, you know, his daughter, he had a daughter of about 4 at the time, has been taken very ill. So ill that he can't go to Eretz Yisrael. And he's going to stay another year or another period in London for very, very acute medical treatment. I found out that his daughter was so seriously ill that she'd reached the stage of her illness that the doctors gave very little hope she would survive. They didn't believe it was possible, but, you know, they did what they could. I didn't understand it. I had a dream. My wife. And what was Lemaisa, what he was saying? His daughter. I phoned up the Rosh Hashiva. He was the address, if you had such shilas. I asked the manager of the Rosh Hashiva, what's the pisrin? He said to me very simply and very clearly, very definitively. He said, sometimes there's a gezeirah on a person and it goes to somebody else in the family for reasons we don't understand. And that obviously was the case here. There was a gezeirah on a lady and it went to the child for whatever reason the Ribbono Shel Olam had. But the reason why you were told that in a dream is because tefillah can help. Otherwise you wouldn't have been told. So we davened, and every single day, for a whole year, a minyan went to the coastal in Yerushalayim to daven for this child. And the child survived the year. And Baruch Hashem, I can tell you that the child today is a mother living in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and she's got children in Cheder, girls in seminary. Baruch Hashem, she's mamash ud mutzu ma'esh. And I remember saying to my friend at the time, when we didn't really know if a daughter was going to survive, that I've got a nice story to tell you. Mitzvah Hashem at your daughter's chasana, I'll tell you. And Baruch Hashem, I was able to be mekayem it. I was able to tell him that story by his chasana, by the chasana he made. And Baruch Hashem, the Rosh Hashiva's words were true. Tefillah helped. The doctors were surprised. But, you know how the doctors are. Yo-yo nish-nisht. But for us, yo-yo not nish-nisht. That's how it went. And one other incident, which I heard from my Rebbe, Nachman Shlomo Greenspan, who was a close friend of Rebbe Herzog. He was a close friend of Rebbe Herzog. And they were both Talmidim of the Ritvaz. And Rebbe Herzog was, in the early 20th century, was a chief rabbi in Ireland. And while he was chief rabbi in Ireland, he told my Rebbe, he had the following story or dream happened to him. He had a chalom, and in the chalom he saw the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz, as you know, was a godel of several doros back. We all know the Tosfos Reed and so on. The Ritvaz had come to him in a dream, with tears in his eyes, and he kept on repeating, Tzoras Klal Yisrael, Tzoras Klal Yisrael. And it was so frightening, Rebbe Herzog said, he didn't sleep anymore that night. It wasn't Shaykh. And he noted the exact time. And in those days, they didn't have communications like now. It took a few days. It turned out that was the exact time the Ritvaz had been Nifta in Eretz Yisrael. And my Rebbe told me this story, and he suggested the following. Rabbi Greenspan's, he said, the Ritvaz was a tzaddik yisod olam, and when he came to the olam ha'emes, everything was clear. He could see the whole future. He could see the whole future open to him, and he saw what the terrible calamities that were going to come to Klal Yisrael in the middle part of the 20th century. And he kept on saying, Tzoras Klal Yisrael, Tzoras Klal Yisrael. But I want to be a little bit of a hezbo in this story. I think it was shown to Rebbe Herzog, because Rebbe Herzog was a prime player in the Hatzolah work during the war, and he was responsible to help many, many Yidden to get into Eretz Yisrael and to escape from Europe. And even, for example, Rebbe Aaron Mebel's Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rebbe Herzog was an important aid in getting the tzaddik Reb Aaron out of Europe and coming to Eretz Yisrael. So because of that, it could be that was why he was shown this, because it was nogea to him. This is chalomos. So although divrei chalomos lo ma'alim v'lo meridin, they are a window to things we don't understand completely. Just going one stage further, from Chalomos, you come to a stage of Siyata Dishmaya, which leads to Ruach HaKodesh. There's the well-known incident, which I think is Nogea a little bit to Pesach, and therefore it's worth repeating it today, which I heard from Rabbi Sossen Abram Zuchon Levrocha, who was in Shanghai at the time. In Shanghai during the war, the whole nace of the Mir Yeshiva, this has actually got a sefer called the Nace Hatzola, which we can't go into now, but there was the following happening. There was the 30,000 Yidden living in Shanghai under Japanese control, that was in China. They were living under Japanese control during the war, and the Germans were very angry about this. Because how could there be 30,000 Yidden living relatively in peace and under the control of their ally, the Japanese? And at that stage, there were about 15,000 indigenous population who were mostly assimilated, and 15,000 European refugees, including the Mir Yeshiva, Chaim Shmulevich, Chasva Levenstein, Gedolei Olam. And they sent a senior Gestapo officer, Yimach Shamum. And they sent him to persuade the Japanese to put the Yidden into concentration camps. And the Japanese concentration camps were as bad as the worst of the Germans. I don't think anyone survived 72 hours. And the Japanese general in charge listened to what the German required. He decided, for some reason which I'll make clear in a moment, he wants to hear what the Jews have got to say. He asked the Jews to send a representative to an interview. The Freie Yidden there wanted nobody to go except the Amshin Rebbe, even the Freie Yidden. When it came to the Dukas HaNefesh, they knew their only hope is with somebody who's got the Ruach of Kedusha on him. And the Amshin Rebbe, a Hamish, a traditional Rebbe from the Amalekite Zeiten, dressed like a Rebbe, he's the one who appeared in front of these Japanese, and it was Mamash HaChaim Barmovis in every word which he said. Could go either way. If he said the wrong word, that would be the end of it. 30,000 the forces of Mon Letzlam would be destroyed, Cholila. And the Japanese said to the Amshin Rebbe, he said, why do the Germans hate the Jews so much? And he replied, I don't know how to describe it, Ruach HaKodesh Zichra. He said, because we are an Oriental people. That's what he replied. And that was the only answer he could give. And that was the one MS which the Japanese listened to this. He understood the Japanese officer. He listened to it. Nothing ever happened to the Yidden. And Baruch Hashem, they survived. We've got Mir Yeshiva today. We've got yeshivas all around the world which came from that Mir Yeshiva, from this conversation. But there's a little bit of a background to this story. And that's what I say is Nogea to Chag HaPesach. Because we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom, and I heard that Matzileinu Miyodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us Miyodom. What they do, what the Roshoim do, saves us from them. Miyodom. This particular Japanese general who was in charge was earlier a Japanese diplomat. And he was a diplomat in Berlin in the 1930s, before the war, and he worked in the Japanese embassy in Berlin. And he found a German girl. He wanted to marry a German Schicksal, a German girl. And Hitler heard about this, and Hitler refused to allow it. He refused to allow it because he did not want one of his German women to marry an Oriental person, a Japanese. And this Japanese general hated Hitler because of this. He never forgave him. And when the question came up of survival for the Yiddish people, because we're an Oriental people, it hit home, it hit the truth. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us Miyodom. I heard from Tuvia Weiss Amol, he said this. He said that Ishtate, that we wait for Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nafshi L'Hashem, Shomim L'Boker, Shomim L'Boker. We are like Shomim L'Boker. We are waiting for the morning like a Shomer waits. He says two sorts of people wait. First of all, you get the person who, he waits, he hopes he's going to win the lottery, he hopes he's going to make $1 million. It's a bit of a chalom, as we're talking about chalomas. But he waits. But if somebody else waits, a night watchman waits, he waits for what? For the morning. There's no question, is the morning going to come or not? Of course it's going to come. But the question is, how long has he got to wait? Nafshi l'shem shomim l'boker, shomim l'boker. We're waiting for the gula, like shomim l'boker, like the shomer, the night watchman wakes for the morning, and we know the gula is going to happen. We just want it to happen a bit quicker. That's all. And that's the matzav we stand here today. It says that v'shuv Hashem shivasiyon hayinu k'chormim, we will be like dreamers. It doesn't say we will be. Hayinu, we were like dreamers. It's Loshon Ova. And Rabbi Dessler says, it's such an important yesod. He says, Hayinu b'loshon ova. When the Geula comes and we look back at the present time, we'll realize that now we're dreaming, not then. Then we'll know Taka the Emes. But now we are dreaming. We're in a chalom. We see all sorts of kochos which exist in the world, and we think, oh, they are the kochos in the world, and we don't see that everything is rak liyad Hashem. Our avoda now is, although we're in a dream, we're in a time of chalomos, let's daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom, the chalomos should cease to be chalomos and become reality. It could be shomim laboka, and we should all be zocha to the gula, bimheira, and betoch simcha.
This was unbelievable. You don't know how much I lost my life this year. I must tell you the story which happened to me.
Yes, please.
I've got to get a bit of back to school. And I came to the school. And I came to the back to school. I went to the back to school. I'm Aymer. Yeah, I'm Aymer. I came to the back to school. Come on.
In the time of the Bat Mikdash, through into the times of the Tanoim, they were always Mekadosh the Chodesh al pi Re'iyah. That means Edom came, and according to the Edus of the Edom, that's how they were Mekadosh the Chodesh. And according to that, that is how they made Yom Tovim. So it was originally, how would they let everyone know when Rosh Chodesh was? They would be Masin Masuyas, used to light torches from mountain to mountain, and that's how they let know the further countries. And the way it went in those times was that each person, according to where he was, I mean, each person, if he knew it was when Rosh Chodesh was, then he kept one day Yom Tov. If he didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was, he kept 2 days. I mean, someone could be living next to the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, and he could still keep 2 days Yom Tov. It depended if you knew. Then it came to, in the time of Huda Nasi, then the Minim started making problems. So therefore, they changed, and they used to send out Shluchim. From then onwards, it went that it was certain places. If you were in a place where the Shluchim got to, then you kept 1 day Yom Tov. If you're in a further place where the Shluchim didn't manage to get to, you kept 2 days Masavah, because they never knew which day Yom Tov was. Now, originally, it never got accepted, the takana of keeping a Safik Yom Tov. And a lot of the Amiroim who knew how to work out, like today, they knew how to work out the calendar, they used to keep 1 day. Until the door of Rabbi Loz ben Pedos, then there was Masakan that Minog Avisenu B'Yadenu, like Gemara says in Beitza, that there's the Minog to keep 2 days Yom Tov, and then onwards, everyone kept 2 days Yom Tov. So it came out, let's say the Suffolk was, if Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday or Monday. They didn't know if they made the Ebe Chodesh. Therefore, so the places that didn't know, they would keep 2 weeks later, let's say Pesach on Sunday or Monday. So why they keep 2 days? They kept 2 days out Suffolk. They didn't know if Sunday was Pesach, if Monday was Pesach. Therefore on Sunday they ate Matzah, and on Monday they ate Matzah. Why out Suffolk the rice of the Chumrah? So the Suffolk was, if it was Suffolk Yom Tov, it was Suffolk Chol. So they went to Chesh L'Chumra and they ate Matzah. So the Shveka is, if they were worried that it was maybe Yom Tov, no, maybe it was Chol, so why didn't they put on Tefillin on Sunday or Monday? It's exactly the same Suffolk that is that it was Yom Tov, so eat Matzah and put on Tefillin. Avad don't have to put on Tefillin with a Tanai, like those who put on Tefillin on Chol Hamoed. They make a Tanai. So the same thing, make a Tanai on Sunday or Monday, and put on Tefillin on both days. As if you had a Ksav Sefer, Ksav Sefer asked in Erechaim Simon Yud, and he says, it's more Shver, today, these days, he says, Avada, we can't put on Tefillin on Yom Tov Rishon. It doesn't come into our tefillin obligation, because at the end of the day, we know for sure it's Yom Tov. We know for sure it's Yom Tov, we can't put on tefillin. He says on the second day Yom Tov, we know for sure it's Chol. Take Zich Achim Shal Pesach. Achim Shal Pesach, we know for sure it's a normal day. But there's a minug to keep a second day Yom Tov. So Vaitech Ve, how can a minug, we'll see later, is it doesn't have the same koyach as the Rabbanon. How can a minug have the koyach bin vatel mitzvah deraisa? There's a mitzvah deraisa to put on tefillin, and they said a minug to put that we should keep Yom Tov. How does the minug have a koyach to take away a mitzvah deraisa? And it's more shver, because we know the Yom Tov Sheni, there are kulos. We know that, l'moshal, legaba oval, legaba a levaya, you can do a levaya on Yom Tov Sheni, and as well the Rambam holds that a bris mila that was pushed off, you can do it if the first possible day to do it is on Yom Tov Sheni, you take a do on Yom Tov Sheni. How is it that suddenly comes to tefillin flew away? What happened to tefillin? So Ksav Sefer has a very face as he looks around, no one asked the kasha. He says, the mice in the end, he said, Baruch Hashem, we found a Chuvas Rajbo. The Rajbo attack asked the kasha, why take a do you put on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni? And the Rajbo says that since that when Chachamim made a Yom Tov Drabbanon, they gave it the koyach of a Deiraisa. And if we would put on tefillin on Yom Tov, it'd be the Isabel Tosif. So therefore, Chazal said, don't put on tefillin. And Chazal have a koyach to be mevatel b'shev al Tosif. So it's the taka to mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni. The Ksav Sefer says, Vaita, it's very shver. Why did Chazal care to put on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni? Put on tefillin, and make it tonight, and very good, we'll wear tefillin. There'll be tefillin on Yom Tov. I suppose in those days it come out quite interesting, because if they tack upon tefillin, it come out that those who put on tefillin in Chol Moed, they did put on Yom Tov and didn't put on Chol Moed. But upon him, he's saying, why didn't they tack? The tacker should have put on tefillin. So he says, Zot the Ksav Sefer answers, Yitanis Enochanami, but Edsem, they would have put on tefillin. He says more than that. He says, in the times of the Bismik Zashavad, they put on tefillin tak on Yom Tov. He says, on both days Yom Tov, they put on tefillin in Suffolk with a Tanai. They put on. I suppose in their talis bag, they had probably a Yom Tov tefillin bag that came with it. But Lemais, he says, they put on tefillin on Yom Tov. And he says, these days, of other Yom Tov Rishon, like we said earlier, we can't put on tefillin. Because we know for sure it's Yom Tov. So if it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, he said, if we'd be Masakan on Yom Tov Sheni to put on tefillin, it'll come out that the Yom Tov Sheni would lose its whole koyach. Everyone look at Yom Tov Sheni as kima'a, a day of choil, because we know at the end of the day we put on tefillin. And then eventually it would lose the whole koyach Yom Tov Sheni, and they're worried that Yom Tov Sheni will be forgotten about. Therefore, they were Masakan to strengthen Yom Tov Sheni, they were Masakan that we don't put on tefillin. He says, while Lemaisa we see that Levaya we can do in Yom Tov Sheni, we see that Bris Mila we can do in Yom Tov Sheni. So he says, no, he says, Levaya, he says for Kovod Mace is different. He says more than that. He says, the Levaya, how often does it happen? And even when it does happen, it's only by a few people. He says, Tefillin is will be every single Yom Tov for every single person. And same thing by Bris Mila. Again, it doesn't happen that often as in Bris Mila and Yom Tov Sheni. And as well, when it happens, it's only in one shul. It won't be all over. Therefore, they'll mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin to give the koyach to Yom Tov Sheni. The shvekai is that Yom Tov Sheni is pashtus only a minug. Like I said earlier, that they'll mesakan as minug of a sin of yadenu. If Yom Tov Sheni is only a minug, then how can the koyach of a minug be mevatel a mitzvah deraisa of tefillin? The Gemara in Sukkah about it. The Gemara in Sukkah daf mem dalut. We have the mitzvah of chibut rava, of banging a shanus. The Gemara there brings two on a chalukas. Is chibut rava a minug or is it a takana? Explains Rashi. What's the difference between a minug and a takana? Rashi says that a takana, anjiknesa gedela, which was Zechariah Chagam Malachi, they were masakin it, and they were masakin this mitzvah. From now onwards, for everyone to do. It says a minug was no takana. The manug, they told the oil and they told everyone this is what they should do. They were never made a takana out of it. He says, what's the difference? Rashi explains. Rashi says that a minug, there's no bracha. Whereas a takana, there is a bracha. Because a minug, again, it was only on haga. and Rashi says, why is the taken a bracha on a minuk? He says, because we can't say v'tzivanu. As we know that every drabbanon, how can you say a bracha on v'tzivanu l'haduk nesha chanukah? It's only a mitzvah drabbanon. So we say v'tzivanu is because there's the laveloi sof, so we have to listen to rabbanon. And therefore, since we have to listen to rabbanon, we make v'tzivanu that we're listening to rabbanon. He says, when it comes to a minuk is not a drabbanon. So therefore, we can't make a bracha v'tzivanu. So it comes out, then very shver. Because we're saying that a minug, which is Yom Tov Sheni, is a minug, we can't make a bracha on it. We can't make a bracha means it's not a proper derabanan. If it's not a proper derabanan, then how can we be mevatel now the mitzvah deraisa of tefillin? Because I've Sefer said that be'etzem we would have put on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni. Pasha als kavas for Yom Tov Sheni, we mevatel the mitzvah deraisa of tefillin. So, but if Yom Tov Sheni is only a minug, then how do we have the koyach to be mevatel? How do Chachamim have the koyach to be mevatel the mitzvah deraisa of tefillin? We're getting there. So it goes right there. Be'etzem Tosfos says, Tosfos is one that Be'etzem says about Yom Tov Sheni. He writes, Klar, that Yom Tov Sheni is a mitzvah derabanan. Is a minuk, sorry. He writes that Yom Tov Sheni is taka a minuk. Lefi Tosfos, that's where the shveka is. Tosfos telling us that Yom Tov Sheni is a minuk. If Yom Tov Sheni is a minuk, then we've got the shveka, how can we be mevatel the mitzvah derabanan of tefillin? But the Ran is chelik in Tosfos. The Ran tainas that Yom Tov Sheni can't be a derabanan. Can't be a minuk, sorry. Why? She says, because al-maisa we see on Yom Tov Sheni, we make loads of brachas v'tzivonu. We make matzah on moror, we make on halal, we make on adlakas neiras. There's no shortage of v'tzivonus. So if you're going to tell me that Yom Tov Sheni is only a minug, then how can we say v'tzivonu al-achilas matzah? Says the Ran and the Chanami. Taka Yom Tov Sheni is not a minug, Yom Tov Sheni is only a takana. So Yom Tov Sheni is taka a normal drabonon. Either Gemara says it's a minug. She says rather, originally it started as a minug. And then they made a takana, you have to keep the minug. So these days it's a normal takana, like every mitzvah drabonon, like until it's a daim, like all the other mitzvahs. And we have to keep Yom Tov Sheni. And in Nevada we're saying v'tzivonu, like every drabonon we say v'tzivonu. So how the Ran. Like Tosfos himself says that Tosfos says it's very shvera Tosfos. Tosfos says that there's no vitzivanos in Yom Tov Sheni. He says that there isn't such a case of vitzivano in Yom Tov Sheni. And everyone asked on Tosfos, the Rukvega asked, and the Ran asked. Everyone asked that we see loads of vitzivanos in Yom Tov Sheni. So that's a shvera kind of Tosfos. But because of that, the Ran is taka choluk, and the Ran holds that Yom Tov Sheni is taka takana. So lefi the Ran is very good, and Yom Tov Sheni. It's a normal Rabbanon, and therefore Rabbanon have a koyach, like the Rashba said, Rabbanon have a koyach to mevatel a mitzvah deraisa to make a takana de Rabbanon. Shaila to be the Rambam.
Point that Yom Tov Sheni could be Yom Tov Rishon. You're avoiding this point. Yom Tov Sheni could be Yom Tov Rishon.
But today
we don't know that. What to about today? But when the Chachamim made the takana, Yom Tov Sheni was Yom Tov Rishon. So if it's Yom Tov Rishon, and we won't make a bracha, we have a mechanic.
In those days they did point filling.
Point is that you have to make the bracha with the bamboo because we need the Yom Tov. It's like Yom Tov Rishon. That's not the reason you need. If not, you're alluding to avoiding the point. The point is just to figure out Sekhid Yayma. Sekhid Yayma, we go in the Chimra, the Kilo, we go different things. But you cannot avoid the point that if you don't make a bracha Tzivonu, you will not have the Yom Tov Rishon. If the second day is Yom Tov Rishon, it's like the Erev Tavshil. Learn it from there.
Yeah, I don't know. The Rambam, the Shvaka is for the Rambam. Because the Rambam holds Taka like Tosfos. The Rambam holds the same that a minug. The Rambam holds that Yom Tov Sheni is taka a minug, like Tosfos. And we said, if Yom Tov Sheni is a minug, then how can a minug mevatel the mitzvah deraisa of tefillin, and that we don't put on tefillin Yom Tov Sheni? So the chiddush is that the Rambam holds that every minug is a deraisa. He holds that just like a takona is in loisosor, the same thing he holds is that a minug is also in loisosor. He says, therefore, every minug has the koyach of a deraisa, And therefore, a minug could be mevatel a deraisa. So what's the difference? Why taka a minug? We don't make brachas on a derabana dus. He says that the derabana only have a koyach in the second brachas on mitzvahs. They don't have a koyach in the second bracha on a minug. Therefore, it's very geshmak. The same thing is, Yom Tov Sheni avada is a derabanan. Yom Tov Sheni is a normal, even though Yom Tov Sheni is a minug, but it has the koyach of a deraisa, like every drabonon. And therefore, And therefore, Avadar, Chazal could be mevatel, the mitzvah, the rise of tefillin, because they have the normal koyach with Rabbanon. With every minute they have this koyach to be mevatel the mitzvah, the rise of tefillin. So it comes out that lefi this k'sedvah of the k'sav sefer, that taka, they were mevatel the mitzvah, the rise of tefillin. So again, if you taste the taka going to be shver, if it's a minhag, how do they have that koyach? Lefi the Rambam and the Ran, since the Rabbanon had the koyach with the deraisa of leisosur, therefore they had the ability to be mevatel the mitzvah of tefillin. Agav, there's a tshuva in Rabbi Yosef Mislutsk. He has a tshuva there that a town sent him. They wanted to mevatel the Yom Tov Sheni. It didn't work out for them. They for their business, they wanted to mevatel it. And he taka writes back there. He shrives on them that they have to keep to it. He says he writes a taka klod. It's a takana. That the Yom Tov Sheni is taka takana. And then we'll end off with a short ha'ara that Yom Tov, every Yom Tov has its hashpos, has its koichos, has its kulos ayoyim. So when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, so in Enochnami, Chazal and Masakin are Yom Tov Sheni, but Lagabi Shemaim, it's a normal day, it's a regular day in the office. So it's no different than any other day. So Shemaim will turn around saying, Chazal, you know, thank you very much for your donation of Yom Tov Sheni, but Lamaisa, it's a normal day today. So why should we send down all those Ashbos? Why should we mashpia those Ashbos, those Kulas Ayoyim? The end of the day, it's a normal day. So I saw Akasha, the Ramami Panu asks. The Ramami Panu asks that it's Yadua that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that the Torah was given on Zion Sivan, not on Vav Sivan. So the question is that why is Shavuos on Vav Sivan if the Torah was given on Zion Sivan? So the Ramban Pan is Mechadosh Meidah Kavah. He says the Torah was given where? In Midbar Sinai. So Midbar Sinai is Chutz Laaretz. So Hashem wanted to show by giving the Torah, that Hashem said, I'm going to dafka give the Torah on Yom Tov Sheni to show that the koyach of Chazal, that the Umasak in Yom Tov Sheni, it's got the koyach of Chazal, that is what the Torah is all about. The Torah is toila on the way Chazal make it. The way Chazal teaches us that the Torah is, that is what the Torah is. Therefore, dafka the Torah alone, the Yom Tov of Matan Torah, Hashem gave the Torah on Yom Tov Sheni to show us the koyach of the Torah, that is all according to the way Chazal teach it to us. And the Chasam Sefer says, he says when Mashiach is going to come, then Hashem is going to be marchiv, the gevulas of Eretz Yisrael. So it's going to be either to the whole world or most of the world, it's going to become Eretz Yisrael. So then it's going to be impossible to let the whole world know when Rosh Chodesh is. So therefore, we're going to have to keep, in those days, it's going to be Taka, there's going to be Yom Tov Sheni those days. He said it won't be called Yom Tov Sheni Shagolias. He said it'll be called Yom Tov Sheni Shagul Laseinu. But he says that he brings a raya. He says from this vow of the Ramban Panu, he brings a raya. He says because when Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem didn't say that I'm giving you the Torah, I'm going to give it on Yom Tov Sheni in case there's going to be a Golos. Hashem wasn't ready talking about Golos, B'Shas Matan Torah. B'Shas Matan Torah, Hashem was thinking about the Gula. So he says, Avada, when the Gula comes, there's going to be a Yom Tov Sheni. And that's why Hashem gave the Torah on Yom Tov Sheni to show us the Kirch of Chazal. To show us the Kirch of Chazal, that according to when Chazal said, that's why the Torah was given on Zion Sivan and not on Vav Sivan. That these are shpos that we get from Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni, Shtaka be Makav the Gula of Meir V'Yemenu.